Sin is what drove Sister Angelique Dupree. She feared nothing except a descent back into the poverty and helplessness of her earliest years. Bishop Craig was clearly frightened. Angelique walked with him along the tree-lined arcade behind the central Atlanta Cathedral, where they could speak without being overheard, unless some overzealous security officer was specifically shadowing them. Angelique was certain such was not the case. No one would dare pry into the bishop's doings. The orders would have to come from the archbishop himself, and she felt confident that Overmyer had not and would not issue such a command. Still, Craig was obviously nervous. Perhaps, Angelique thought, he's worried that the archbishop is watching him, or one of the other bishops, looking for an edge in their quietly ferocious competition for the archbishop's ring. She surreptitiously fingered the miniature audio recorder in the pocket of her ankle-length skirt. No bigger than a sugar cube, it was taking down every word they spoke. Craig was right to be worried about eavesdroppers, she knew. He was simply looking in the wrong direction. Angelique was compiling a dossier of the bishop's maneuverings. She planned to show it to Archbishop Overmyer, if and when she had to.
"How does he know what he claims to know?" Bishop Craig hissed, his voice low.
It was a warm and bright spring day in late February, although Angelique knew the sweltering months of the long summer were only a few weeks away. She was glad to be outdoors, feeling the light breeze on her face, hearing the birds singing happily among the trees. The brick-paved walkway they strolled along was empty of other people. The bishop had told his security people he wanted privacy. She was several centimeters taller than Bishop Craig, and found herself stooping slightly to hear his fretful, almost panicky whisper.
"We've got to find a way to get rid of him. We've got to."
Looking down at his bald head, Angelique asked, "Who are you speaking of, Your Worship?"
"This man Stoner. He claims to know that our government is building nuclear bombs. How could he possibly know that?"
She very nearly smiled. The bishop's dread was almost palpable. Stoner was something unexpected, unpredictable, a sudden intrusion into his plans to make himself archbishop.
"He is an extraordinary man, Bishop," said Sister Angelique.
He glared up at her.
"I don't think he's a man at all. He's a demon, straight from hell."
"Do you really think that's likely, Your Worship?"
Craig began ticking off points on his slender fingers.
"He appears and disappears like some genie out of the Arabian Nights. He claims that we're heading for Armageddon. He says he wants to help us, but what if he wants to help us into everlasting damnation?"
Sister Angelique murmured, "By their fruits you shall know them."
Looking more annoyed than ever, Craig went on.
"If he's right, and the government is building nuclear weapons, then it must be with the knowledge and approval of the Archbishop. And if Archbishop Overmyer has approved such a thing, he did it without my knowledge, without informing any of the bishops, as far as I can see."
Angelique hesitated, thinking, "It's not Stoner himself that's worrying him. It's the fact that Stoner could upset his plans.
I don't like having the Archbishop make such a move without consulting me about it," Craig muttered.
"At least he hasn't consulted any of the other bishops either," she replied.
"Do we know that for a fact? What about Van Weasel or Morrison? I wouldn't put it past him to sneak into the Archbishop's good graces."
Feeling slightly alarmed at Craig's suspicions, Angelique tried to calm the man.
"Your Worship, I think the Archbishop has acted on his own in this matter. His staff might know about it, but they've kept it from everyone else."
Bishop Craig was silent for several paces. Then,
"Do you really think so?"
"Your Worship," Angelique answered, "the Archbishop is a man, no more than you are. A very good man, of course, but he is quite advanced in years. Certain members of his staff might be manipulating him. After all, he's not infallible, as the Catholics once believed of their Pope. Archbishop Overmyer is very old, and from what I hear, he isn't in the best of health."
Craig squinted up at her.
"What are you suggesting?"
"Simply that if the Archbishop did agree to the construction of nuclear weapons, he may have overreacted, perhaps, or even made an error of judgment.
Craig fell silent again. At last he muttered, "If his judgment is faulty, he'd have to be replaced."
"Replaced?"
Angelique feigned surprise.
"That's a serious step, though. A very serious step. I can't just go before the board of directors and demand that Overmeyer step down."
"Of course not," Angelique agreed. "That would be wrong."
"On the other hand, if the Archbishop is making mistakes of judgment..."
"Or being maneuvered by certain members of his staff," Angelique suggested.
Craig nodded vigorously.
"He's too old and weak to control his own staff, isn't he?"
Angelique sidestepped that question by asking,
"How will you proceed, then, your worship?"
The bishop hesitated, his face furrowing with thought. At last he said,
"This man, Stoner, I think he's an alien in human disguise. I think he's a tool of the devil."
"The archbishop will be meeting with him tomorrow."
"He's too weak to face the challenge," Craig insisted. "Too old and tired to face up to him."
"I've arranged for you to attend the meeting," Angelique said. "You'll be the only bishop there."
"None of the others?"
"The archbishop wants this meeting kept small."
"Not even Van Weasel?"
"You'll be the only bishop in the meeting," Angelique repeated.
Craig grinned happily.
"You'll be with the archbishop when he meets Stoner. You can observe his reaction to the Starman. That could reveal his true inner condition."
Craig did not answer.
But he did not contradict her.
Angelique knew that she had set his mind one more step along the path to ultimate power. Her ultimate power. Chapter 2
"It's all arranged," Angelique said to Tavalera. "The archbishop is ready to meet with Stoner tomorrow."
She had invited Tavalera to lunch in a restaurant in the New Moralities complex of buildings. He had eagerly accepted. "Poor man," Angelique thought. "He has nothing to do all day except to wait for me to call him." She had scanned through the surveillance records. Tavalera spent his days watching television or playing harmless video games. He went to bed early and slept soundly. "He has a clear conscience," she told herself. But a thread of suspicion wormed through her thoughts. How can he keep himself from being bored? 2 days of being cooped up in that apartment, I'd be screaming and pounding the walls. Tavalera smiled lazily at her. Stoner had told him that she'd drugged him when she'd come to his apartment for dinner, and now he trusted her about as far as he could throw the planet Jupiter. While the surveillance cameras showed him spending hour after hour watching the wall screens, in actuality, thanks to Stoner, he spent a good deal of his time talking to Holly in the Goddard habitat at Saturn. And he studied. Fascinated by Stoner, Tavalera had begun searching history webs and delving into physics and astronomy tutorials. He found that he enjoyed learning about how the universe worked. It wasn't a perfect world for Tavalera, but he considered that things were a good deal better than Sister Angelique knew. He was a prisoner, he knew, but he was using his imprisonment to expand his mind. "Tomorrow, huh?" he asked, forking up a few leaves of salad. The restaurant was busy, but almost eerily quiet. Filled with employees of the New Morality's many agencies, its customers spoke in whispers, as if they were afraid of disturbing anyone, or afraid of being overheard. Tavalera almost laughed at his own voice, pitched low and soft like all the others. Angelique studied his eyes.
"Can you get Stoner to come?"
Nodding, Tavalera said, "He'll be there."
"Will he just appear?"
With a shrug, "That's up to him. Might be the best way to convince the Archbishop that he's for real."
"I don't know," Angelique said slowly. "The Archbishop is an old man. A sudden shock like that wouldn't be good for him."
"I'll tell Stoner."
"No need to," said Keith Stoner. He was standing to one side of their table. Tavalera dropped his fork, clattering to the tiled floor. Angelique gaped up at Stoner.
"How long?" she stammered.
Stoner pulled up a chair and sat between them. He was wearing a soft gray velour pullover and light blue slacks. Smiling at her, he said, "Whatever you say to Raoul here, you're also saying to me."
She murmured, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name,
I am there.